Chaos in the Middle East and North Africa is causing a spike in gasoline prices. We all saw that this weekend. That has the Obama administration suggesting we tap into our strategic oil reserves. But is a gas price hike a legitimate reason to tap into our strategic reserves? And if the president is so concerned with the price of gas, why not cut the federal taxes on it? Joining me now, my freedom fighters, Fox Business contributor, my colleague and friend, Charles Payne, Occidental College professor, Carolyn Heldman, and Reason Magazine associate editor, Peter Suderman. Carolyn, to you first. What is the thinking in the Democratic Party today that the president should do about the price of oil? Is this something that just is an unavoidable consequence of the fear generated by the violence in the Middle East? Or should he really go into those oil reserves, or say he's going to go into the oil reserves, in the hope that gets speculators to lower the predicted price?
Well, Judge, I hope that that's what he's doing. Obviously, Democrats would be in favor of bringing gas prices down however they can, because during a time of economic crisis like we are in now, poor people literally, it takes food off their table to pay over $4 for gas, which I did this morning already in California. But I think what's happening here is our biggest reliance in terms of sources for oil are Mexico and Canada, and yet gas prices are way beyond, I believe, what the unrest in the Middle East is dictating. So the administration, I think, is trying to threaten oil companies against price gouging and these unconscionable profits during this long recession.
All right, Peter, who's really doing the gouging? I mean, Carolyn's a very smart person, so she knows where her money went. But of the $4 a gallon she spent in California, 68 cents went to the government of California, which did nothing to help her with the transaction, and 18 cents went to the federal government, which did nothing to help her with the transaction. Who's gouging whom here?
Look, I think that the best way to look at this is as a policy gimmick. I mean, this is like Obama going out to the pump station and handing out free gas and saying, hey, hey, hint, hint, remember this. You know, the Strategic Oil Reserve was developed in cases of severe oil emergencies, severe energy shocks, not to regulate short-term supply. And that's essentially what they're doing, is trying to regulate out the fluctuations of the market, the short-term fluctuations, by tapping into something that was built to, you know, as a real emergency store.
The violence in the Middle East, Charles, causes the price of oil to go down because of fear on the part of those who buy oil here that at some point it's going to go up. Obviously, the gasoline that was pumped this weekend that went up from $3.25 to $4 a gallon in California was here already before the violence started over there. So, question, will the president's statement, like we might go to those caves underneath Louisiana and take a few hundred million of those gallons of that oil out, will that alleviate the fear, or will that cause the wise people in this business to say he doesn't know what he's talking about?
Well, A and B. I think it makes it worse. People are going to say he doesn't know what he's talking about, but it makes it worse. It adds, and no pun intended, fuel to the fire with respect to fear.
How so?
Well, listen, it's already the point's been made about this being an emergency. You know, okay, you go to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, what do you have after that? Here's the real deal. I was shocked to hear Carolyn say Democrats are in favor of anything to bring down gas prices. How about no taxes? How about drilling Anwar? How about not taking land in the West, which, by the way, is the next move to take more land from the private
sector? Go ahead, Carolyn, it's all yours. You heard all those how-abouts. How about answering?
Well, Charles, I'll definitely have to take a step back from that. Anything that doesn't, you know, rape and pillage our environment, to clarify.
Okay. The government authorized 31 oil wells to be drilled in the Gulf of Mexico. One of them caused a disaster. It then reinspected the other 30. There was nothing wrong with them. It refused to reissue the permits. A federal judge told them to reissue the permits. It refused again. A federal judge held in contempt the people who refused to issue the permits. It issued one, and now it's appealing him to the appeals court. Don't they want to enforce their own laws? Don't they see oil when it's right under their noses, Carolyn?
Well, I think doing some research on this subject, Judge, there is some concern that the regulations that are even in place are not enough to prevent another accident from happening. So I know that behind the scenes, there's definitely a lot of policy review, and I think that that's what's holding it up. There might also be a PR element, you know, this idea that they're punishing petroleum company because of what happened with BP. I would hope that's not the case, but I suspect that it is.
Peter, before we get to the next topic about the Federal Reserve, might the Democrats suffer here? Because those of us who don't like paying $4 a gallon will realize this could be stopped tomorrow if they issued the permits to drill. The oil doesn't have to be here or even on its way here for the price to go down. We just have to know that at some point it's coming.
Tax issues almost always weigh against Democrats. People don't like high pump prices. And one of the biggest single contributors to high pump prices, certainly the biggest policy contributor, is our gas taxes. If Democrats don't want to lower them, then that's going to hurt them.
All right. The Federal Reserve is meeting on March 15th. Ooh, the Ides of March. To discuss its $600 billion program known as quantitative easing, in which the Federal Reserve prints money, all right, it does it digitally, supposedly to promote lending and stimulate economic growth. The program is set to end in June, but in its mid-March meeting, it might consider June too soon to pull back the reins on the money printing presses. What exactly has to happen before the Federal Reserve stops this printing madness? Charles, what's the thinking amongst Wall Street, amongst big banks, as to whether the Fed is going to keep doing this?
I think the thinking is that they will, although it's getting harder for them to justify doing it, because if they had the dual mandate, okay, the unemployment rates come down. They're worried about inflation. Well, inflation's obviously becoming a problem. And also the idea that once they take the training wheels off the economy, that means they have the confidence that it can ride by itself. Now, Wall Street, by the way, is different than banks. The stock market loves it.
Right.
I mean, $75 billion coming into the market every month, they love it.
Carolyn, is this working just because the stock market is going up and unemployment's at 9% instead of 10%? Or are there other indicators to which we should look, to which Ben Bernanke and company should look before they keep the printing presses rolling?
Well, I think the only other thing we would look at would be inflation, and that is not an issue now. I think quantitative QE2, the quantitative easing, the second round, did have some positive effect in terms of buoying the stock market, right? 4,000 points during Obama's presidency certainly made wealthy people much wealthier. It also probably propped up the housing market with very low interest rates. So I think it's been a very positive thing, but the Fed needs to get behind it. If inflation becomes a problem,
Carolyn,
they need to look at short-term
interest
rates.
Carolyn, we have two areas of the human economy on which we all rely, and in both of them, prices are going up, fuel and food. Won't quantitative easing, that Princeton phrase for printing money and throwing it into the economy, make those prices go up even more?
Well, Judge, that's not what's making that go up, right? So it's unrest in the Middle East, and I would say price gouging by oil companies making fuel prices go up, and then commodities and food prices are going up because of climate change and all of the catastrophes that are happening globally with that.
Peter?
Can the Fed help with this? Yes.
All right. Peter, weigh in on this, please.
Look, I think you have to think about this as a backdoor stimulus. I mean, the first stimulus failed, so there was no way to get another one through Congress. So this was the route that was taken. They printed $600 billion. They stuffed it into the coffers of the 18 biggest banks. And so that is certainly going to introduce inflationary risk into the economy. You print $600 billion out of thin air, you throw it into the economy. I mean, what else are you going to get? Of course, you're going to have inflationary
Charles,
risk.
At some point, the government has to be held accountable for what it does that is immoral. For the printing of cash today that generations of Americans that yet unborn will have to pay back.
There's no doubt about it. And the fiscal and monetary policy is driving the dollar to nothing, and that has increased the price of commodities. That's why milk prices doubled in a year before Tunisia even caught on fire. So listen, if you think that you're hurting the poor with these policies, you're actually, I mean, helping them, you're actually hurting them, Caroline. You're destroying the poor.
Aren't the poor suffering the most? I mean, you're a college professor. I know $4 a gallon of gas is a lot, but you make enough money to pay for it. Poor people don't. They're suffering. That's going to get worse if Uncle Ben keeps printing greenbacks.
Well, I would disagree that I certainly would agree that it's disproportionately benefiting the wealthy. But I think we need good currency policy as well as a decent economic stimulus. And I think the problem was the stimulus package was half as big as it needed to be. So if we really want to talk about helping the poor and helping working class in this recession, then we all would have been in favor of a stimulus package that was twice the size.
Why doesn't he do another stimulus package if he thinks they're so beneficial?
Why doesn't he?
It wasn't beneficial. It was a
because the public doesn't want it.
Right.
Because the public sent people to Washington who will vote against it.
Yeah, and guess what? For 200 years, we sent people to Washington to loot on our behalf, and now we've gotten a message, and hopefully the White House will too.
All right, Peter, are we stuck with this stuff forever? Does everybody in the government, from Ronald Reagan to Warren Harding to Jimmy Carter to FDR to Barack Obama, think that they could just pay today and spend today and worry about paying back tomorrow?
I think this is one of the dangers of quantitative easing, is that it's easy to get addicted to this made-up money. I mean, there's already reports that people are talking about QE3 here. The first QE went on longer than
it
was expected.
Peter Suderman, Carolyn Heldman, Charles Payne, thank you for joining us. Up.